Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 228, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! Ah! It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is, of course, Thursday, March 17th, 2022, which means it is... Miles, I don't know how to read what you've written down here. Street something or rather day, I forget.
Saint something.
Saint
you know,
something.
March 17th, It's one of those saints days, isn't it? March 17th.
Oh, shit. I should know this, right? Saint Gertrude. Saint Patty Cake. Also, shout out to my nephew, who was born on St. Patrick's Day.
Ah, Saint, that's it. There it is. See?
Yeah. Saint, my nephew, who was born on St. Patrick's Day's day.
Well, what saint day is it? I don't know.
I don't. No.
I just know it's happy he was born on St. Patrick's Day Day.
Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack Cousteau O'Brien, with that getup, according to Mampers 84, I guess, because I was wearing an orange beanie in the picture we posted yesterday.
Longshoreman vibes.
Yeah. I was also wearing a wetsuit and had a harpoon gun, so it could have been that as well.
Yeah.
No way to know, but... I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Started from the bottom, kind of weird. Started from the bottom, made this whole nana disappear. Started from the bottom, kind of weird. Started from the bottom, ate the whole fruit from the rear.
Okay, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House, who was calling. People were giving us new fruit-eating techniques, like peeling the banana from the bottom, or what we think is the bottom, or eating an apple from the bottom.
Yeah.
Still haven't tried it, though.
So sometimes people give me a strange idea, and I'm like, maybe that one, the idea of eating a banana from the bottom, didn't even enter my brain. I was just like...
What about the apple? The apple, it was like that picture of the guy who pretended to be Justin Bieber who couldn't eat the burrito, who was just eating it like a corn cob.
Yeah.
To see somebody eat an apple like that, I'm like, you're trying to get a rise out of me, right? Is that...
Yeah.
Sorry, did I say, that's what I meant. The apple thing didn't even enter my brain. Banana, I've eaten bananas all sorts of ways, including as a corn cob.
Working knife job.
By the way, shout out to whoever, whoever the person was who was like, I look like Bieber, and I know that if I go out into public as Bieber and eat a burrito as from the middle outward, it will break the internet. That person is a genius, and I hope one day they use their powers for good.
They got us.
They got us. We devoted an entire episode of the show
like,
to it.
What's wrong with Bieber?
During the Trump administration. We just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Our show's gotten better, I think. But anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by podcasting royalty.
Yeah.
A writer, media critic, and the host of one of my favorite podcasts, You're Wrong About. Her writing has appeared in The Believer, on BuzzFeed, and she's just truly one of the best people in the world at interrogating the myths and narratives we use to define ourselves and the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that we try to do on this show, she's the best at it. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Sarah Marshall!
Sarah! Welcome.
I love how much shouting is on this show. I'm learning so much about where to point my head when I'm shouting.
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. And I had no idea that there was a fake Bieber who couldn't eat a burrito. I feel like all I do is monitor the internet and I still miss all the good stuff.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to get to learn today.
There's a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Just went, sat, dressed up as in Bieber-esque clothing, sat on a park bench, and started attacking a burrito from the middle.
The paparazzi
were on it.
I want Werner Herzog to make a documentary about this event.
It would be good, and I truly mean what I said. Like the level of subtle kind of tapped in-edness to the zeitgeist and the fact that that would capture our imaginations.
Right.
Hats off.
Yeah. The way the confused Canadian eats the burrito. Werner, please.
In his eyes, I see only terror.
How are you doing, Sarah? What's new? What's new with you?
I feel the optimism of spring sort of approaching, and I was just looking at the weather before we started talking and saw that we're now at, you know, equal amounts of darkness and light, which is really exciting. I feel cautiously optimistic, but I guess that's my normal mood, which is probably a good way to go through life because you like hope good things will happen and then you find it believable when they do happen, but you don't, you know, expect to wake up to things functioning or anything.
Right.
Cautious. All right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about some Kremlin talking points that are continuing to cause problems on Fox. And just, you know, Fox is actually in this specific instance representing kind of a major debate happening in the international relations community.
Yeah, so. But deploying it in a very cynical way that only serves Fox.
Of course. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the fact that workers are maybe open to the metaverse, are being like kind of cornered into being open to the metaverse.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll talk about whether that's a good thing or not. I think anything we can do to just, you know, continue to live in the world that Mark Zuckerberg built for us, I think is a good thing, right? I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
It seems like he's got the face of a benevolent deity.
Good head on his shoulders.
I created my own Buddha statues with his face on it. I changed all kind of like deity statues I had. I did a lot of work to make them look like Mark Zuckerberg because he knows the way.
He does. The path forward. Mm. And we're going to talk about KFC going full Demolition Man with a degustation menu, which is a tasting menu, but in French, in a French word that when I say it sounds close to disgusting, but I think the French probably have a much better handle on the pronunciation of that word.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, KFC has a tasting menu. We'll talk about it. I'm surprisingly okay with it. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sarah, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
I feel like generating Google search history is all I do. Like, all I do is distract myself every 5 seconds wondering about random things. Like, this morning, I was lying in bed and I was like, what's Amy Jo Johnson doing now? You know, the Pink Power Ranger and Felicity's friend from Felicity. And I found out, and it was really fun.
What's Amy Jo Johnson up to?
So I'm so happy you asked. She lives in Canada, and she is directing movies now. And according to her Wikipedia page, she taught some kind of martial arts class in 2004. I have no idea why that's on her Wikipedia, but it is. Okay. So the most recent funny thing from my history, I think, is Ratzenberger Star Wars, because for some reason I was reading... Oh, here's what happened. I was reading... All right, I'm going to tell you about a little journey I went on this morning.
Okay.
I was like... Apparently, I'm obsessed with how old everyone is. So I was like, how old is Carla Lolly Music? And then when I found out how old she was, I learned that her father-in-law was Lorenzo Music, the voice of Garfield, and that Garfield is now voiced by someone whose name I forget, but who's an incredibly prolific voice actor, and that he's the third highest grossing performer actor in movies. And I was like, who is the highest grossing actor in movies? And I forget who that is, too. But one of the top 10 is John Ratzenberger, who played Cliff Clavin on Cheers. You're really getting insight into like the steel trap right of my brain.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is John Ratzenberger? Go
Toy
on.
Story.
Yeah. Well, he's in every Pixar movie, right?
Yeah, which I didn't know. And so I found out that he was in every Pixar movie until 2020. But yes, every Pixar movie for like 22 years or whatever it was. So he's in the top 10. And then I read on his Wikipedia page that he was in The Empire Strikes Back. And I was like, no, he was not. And then I looked it up and you can see a picture of John Ratzenberger on the base on the ice planet Hoth in The Empire Strikes Back. And I was just so thrilled to learn that. And that's what happens when you like give in to your unnecessary impulses to look up random people for no reason when you should be getting up and starting your day.
Right. Because I think the highest is still Sam Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah, that is correct. According to the list that I'm looking at.
Which seems earned. That feels meritocratic.
Because like the second he did those Star Wars prequels, it took him to the next level. And then he added the MCU stuff. And I think the like other like Robert Downey's like really close too. I think now it's rise of the MCU performers being on that list.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. We got to read it down for the listeners so that they're not crashing their car Googling this themselves. We got Samuel L. Jackson, number one, with like 5.6 bill. Robert Downey Jr., 5.4 bill. Tom Hanks, that feels meritocratic, as Sarah put it. Scarlett Johansson feels, you know, I mean, these are all people who like, they pick movies well, you know? They, like, with the possible exception of Robert Downey Jr., who might be, like, coast, you know, he had his hits and misses. But, like, Samuel L. Jackson and Tom Hanks and Scarlett Johansson, like, they just nail it time after time. Bradley Cooper is a surprise for me, coming in at number five. And
I think that's more impressive because he's not in a Star Wars or MCU.
Yeah,
film.
That's what, like, you know all what I mean? These other ones, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, something pops into my head. Like, Bradley Cooper and Tom Hanks and Samuel L. Jackson, even though I guess he got the boost from the...
He's in the MCU. Okay, Justin's saying Bradley Cooper is a... He's... Oh, Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon,
right.
There it is.
He's the voice. That's why he threw me off. So basically, everybody has the MCU. I guess Tom Cruise and Harrison Ford...
Tom Hanks.
And Tom Hanks are non-MCU people on this list.
But you know what? There's some Ratzenberger erasure because nowhere to be seen on the list that I'm looking at.
Oh, I think
Daddy
I
Rats.
Have a list for maybe voice and also non-voice actors. Yeah.
Yeah, this
so it
might
depends
be...
on which list.
So Cooper, if Cooper's doing it without Rocket Raccoon, because that is just a voice performance, as far as I know, unless they fit him into like a really tiny raccoon costume.
I mean, he's got a little facial mocap stuff going on.
Okay.
Like.
Okay, so they do a mocap for him. That's incredible. I love the idea of Bradley Cooper trying to emulate a little raccoon. That's like, what a performer.
Yeah. All right. Well, Sarah, what is something you think is overrated?
I think that cashews have coasted as a snack nut, I've come to conclude, because I was eating a mixture of peanuts and cashews the other day, and I found myself really favoring the peanuts. And that got me to thinking about the fact that cashews are more expensive, more difficult to harvest. I think like the labor involved in making cashews is a lot more intense. I don't think we really grow them domestically. And so now I have a conspiracy theory that cashews aren't better than peanuts. They're just more difficult to obtain.
Right. Like we're like at the will of the old like nut prices of the like 19th century where they're like cashews are like gold. And we're still like, I don't know. The taste isn't that great compared to a peanut because like cashews have a flavor, but they don't have that peanut bite.
I'm cashew gang. I love cashews, wow, despite the fact Johnny that they cashew. When you look at them and how they're grown, they do look like the poop of another fruit. They're just like little curly things that hang out of the bottom of what looks like a pepper, like a yellow bell pepper. And I still love them because they're soft. They're softer, so like they don't get that little...
Easy on the teeth?
Easy on the teeth and easy on the... Like I don't get the little chunk... Like almonds, I feel like I'm eating little pieces of wood and the wood pellets like get stuck in my throat and then I'm having coughing fits like... out of nowhere, like 45 minutes later, I'm just like, all right, well, this conversation's ruined. I'll be over here coughing like you've poisoned me for the next 15 minutes instead of having a conversation. But cashews don't really fuck with me like that because they're just, I don't know. I think they start very soft and even after they're roasted, they're soft and easy to get down. Okay. I swallow them whole. Yeah, is that not correct?
That's kind of winning me over. I should try doing that. But yeah, the softness of the nut, I hadn't thought of that. You're right. Because like most nut situations, you're like, I am working to obtain these calories and cashews just like want to get inside of you. That is a good quality.
But is the flavor thing not a knock against it? It's pretty bland.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I like the flavor. It's like salty and kind of creamy to me. That's...
Right. No, I mean, I fuck with all the textures. If it's probably rich in oils, that's why it's very easy on the teeth. But I don't know, like the flavor of a cashew treat isn't as appealing to me as a flavor of like a peanut treat. Just going off of that alone. That's all I'm saying. That's all I have to say. And there's no need to escalate this disagreement any further.
I mean, if we're going peanuts versus cashews, like the... In terms of a overrated, underrated, like how many candy bars are there that have cashews as an ingredient? Like zero, right?
Yeah, we have no basis for comparison. We're flying blind.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And maybe that's where I'm being, you know, robbed as a consumer of not being able to have those cashew choices in my candy bars. But nothing wrong with these fucking peanut ones because I fucking love the fuck out of those.
Yeah, no, I'm happy with the place of peanuts as the predominant. Like peanut butter is one of my, you know, probably takes up about 25-30% of the calories I consume.
It's your blood type, I think.
Yeah, my blood type is concerned. Reese's. Yeah, it's not good, actually. It's very, very bad. I think I paused yesterday's recording of TDZ to take a big bite of peanut butter toast.
That's right.
And Miles called it out and was like, that's the worst possible thing you could be taking a massive bite of, like, right peanut as butter. We're introducing our
of
guest.
Mouth glue while you record your podcast.
Just intentionally wading into the waters of that Aaron Burr, Michael Bay commercial.
That commercial was incredible. Like, I really love how many people absolutely remember it. No trouble at all. You say Aaron Burr and they're like, oh, yeah. That commercial.
Yeah. It's still the best thing Michael Bay has ever directed.
I didn't watch Hamilton because of that commercial. I was like, I already get it, bro.
I
need to know.
You're Aaron Burr, the legacy is complete.
Yeah. I'm like, I really,
right,
in my
there's
mind,
nothing
I was
left
like,
to learn.
Right. I was like, I already learned the parable of the man in the body cast who was trying to. Was that kind of body cast?
Aaron Burr. I don't know. I don't think he was. No.
Oh, he's a different one.
He was working at an Aaron Burr museum.
Yes.
He was a different guy.
And weren't like the fighting like muskets like in a box next? There was some other like artifact next to him.
Yeah, he had all the artifacts there.
The Bodycast is a different Got Milk commercial.
Yeah. Sarah, what is something you think is underrated?
This is such a beautiful segue because actually I wanted to plug chocolate milk. And I'm happy that we have sort of wandered over to the milk campaigns of the 90s, because when I was a kid, I actually owned a book of the milk ads where they had the celebrities with milk mustaches, which was a different campaign from the Got Milk ad, which is like, I don't know. There's something very 90s about growing up with like two different and equally prominent milk campaigns. Maybe I should do a podcast about that. But you know, so I'm not a milk booster by any means, but I think chocolate milk is like an incredibly decadent, delicious, perfect dessert, snack, whatever. And I think that a lot of adults are sleeping on it because we just remember, we think of it as a food of childhood maybe, and we haven't, it's not integrated into our lives. But like, I think if you had never had chocolate milk in your life and you had some today, you would be like, what is this brand new incredible product that is going to be the new trend food? I think that we've been sleeping on chocolate milk as adults.
Yeah, there's a shame, you know, that we're too mature. Our palates have gone beyond the chocolate milk. And I just started drinking mochas in the morning. Like when I walk by this coffee shop, I'm like, you know what? I want hot chocolate with a little bit of coffee in it. And I'm not upset about that. That's what I need.
Yeah.
And the chocolate Oatly, that oat milk has brought me back into drinking chocolate stuff again. Cause like, as if it's so funny you bring up like the, like I'm like sort of self-awareness around being an adult buying chocolate milk. But in my mind, I'm like, well, there's a new Oatly thing that's out there. It's oat milk and it's chocolate, so we might as well try that. Rather than
saving
just saying,
the world.
I have babies.
Thank you to the oat milk.
Yeah.
What were the 90s chocolate milk campaigns? Like, were they just like the Got Milk campaigns, but just with a chocolate milk mustache?
I mean, I want to say that they did at least one of those where they had somebody drinking milk with a... And I could be totally making that up because this is how memory works. It seems like something that would have happened. I feel like I could have seen that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm very curious about what all that was about.
I thought you said you had a whole book of chocolate milk
the
ads.
Traditional
I had a book of, no, just regular milk ads.
Remember?
Because they were like the normal milk campaign and the other normal milk campaign.
Dude, the Olsen twins had
Lipnicki,
one.
Lipnicki, that's right.
Had a chocolate milk one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you know the human head weighs?
that's
what the campaign is. And, wow.
Do you remember the actual mustaches, though, from those ads? It was not milk at all. And that always bugged me as a kid looking at those ads. I'm like, whatever they're drinking is so fucking thick because it looks like white out on their mouth. And I'm like, there's just a whole, I don't know. It felt like.
Photographs better, yeah.
Yeah, it's impossible for me to get behind that. Well, I mean, it always
freaked me out. I think the book talked about that. I think they were like, it's part ice cream and maybe that it was like. Yeah, I want to say ice cream was involved, but I mean, yeah, it's always funny to me when there's like some kind of national campaign for just a food that doesn't have a brand behind it. Like, I feel like we also got a lot of ads for eggs as a concept.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs. They're pretty good, right?
All those interest groups. Remember when it was like beef, you know,
beef,
they were playing.
Oh, my God.
Pork.
Yeah.
The other white meat.
The other white meat.
Like,
oh my God.
Leonard Bernstein
and it's so
over that shit.
Yeah. It's very depressing to me, like how much I loved these commercials when I was like 11. And I remember a friend when we were like 10, we like found the phrase, we were calling something the other white meat that we thought was very funny. And because this thing where like I fondly remember all of these very sort of weird, high-powered, you know, probably quite cynical ad campaigns from my childhood. And it's like, that's the culture that you end up with. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. At the same time, like, I've talked a lot about, you know, Big Dairy being like the original power industry in America that, like, you know, caused it's caused a lot of people to die earlier than they probably should have. The only time that American obesity and heart disease deaths like dropped like to a normal global average was during World War II when there were dairy rations. And then the second they stopped rationing the dairy, it went popped back up. Same time, like if we're comparing that to, you know, the foods that we're advertised today on a regular basis and like the state of the human body today versus like the 1950s, 60s, 70s, like it's probably okay by comparison, I would say.
I was really thinking you were going to talk about raw milk deaths, because my favorite fact about Nixon, which at this point is old enough in my brain that I'm sure I'm getting something a little wrong because that's how it goes, but is that I believe that when he was a child, he had a sibling who died after consuming raw milk that was, you know, was something wrong with it, as can happen. And that's and that like influenced his desire to regulate the milk industry and industries generally,
wow.
Which is like, you know, yeah, one of those moments where you're like Nixon,
hey,
mostly a monster, but had some ideas. What
and that thought. Was a weird ad campaign, the Nixon. Mostly a monster, but
yeah,
had some weird ideas
and
that worked out.
We're like, all right, yeah.
Hey.
And they had all the celebrities with Nixon masks on, and yeah,
Nixon, he gets
the
it.
Nixon mustache.
If he's been through a personal trauma directly connected to the topic,
Nixon, it will get worse.
There are chocolate milk ads. I forgot about these. They've been out for a couple years where it's like athletes saying
athletes,
that they refuel with chocolate milk.
Yeah.
There's one with Al Horford, the basketball player. He's like, I'm built with chocolate milk. There's one with Carmelo Anthony. He's like, when I give 110% in a game, I got to finish it with chocolate milk. Another one with Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
It says official recovery drink of Klay Thompson.
Kevin Love. It's interesting. I've always thought that's a very specific tier of athlete. Like they're sub Gatorade, but like, you know, right, it's not Steph Curry, it's Klay Thompson.
Yeah. It's not LeBron James, it's Al Horford.
It's not LeBron James, it's Kevin Love. It's not LeBron James, it's not even Kyrie Irving. It's Kevin Love.
It's Kevin Love. Being like, hey, man, that's how I was built. But I get it. You know, maybe it almost reminds me of like that meme of like when you grow up with like athletes, it like who just don't put anything into themselves, but are somehow like at peak levels. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, I don't have a trainer. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't eat right. I'm just kind of gifted. That's almost like what these ads make me feel like. It's like, I don't know, dude. I just drink chocolate milk.
Yeah.
I'm an NBA, so. I check it out.
My body is basically a miracle. Science should study it, but you could try drinking chocolate milk, see how that works for you. Probably not as well as it works for
me. You'll probably just need a nap.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever.
But I know, like, I have my brother-in-law is actually a really great, like, long distance runner, and he's been known to like slam a thing of chocolate milk after he does a long training run. So
what's
I think there's
the perfect
something
balance
to it. Yeah, it's like it's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Hey, in this ad, it's Klay Thompson with the basketball says it's the ideal three pointer, nutrients to refuel, natural protein to rebuild, backed by science.
Yeah, there it is.
In that there is nutrients and protein technically, but don't talk about the sugar.
Right.
That's all good. Don't worry about it.
No, it's irrelevant.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Fox News, the Kremlin, the whole confusing / not that confusing situation in Ukraine.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so Fox News, they're having some disagreements about who's to blame for the situation in Ukraine. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think we got a guy. A good candidate. We got a suspect.
There's a lot of nuance, too, if you choose to look at it for the right reasons in good faith.
Yeah,
or you could hear a couple talking points and then weaponize them because Fox News. And I think for most people who don't watch Fox News or who aren't racist brained, they will watch the show and you can kind of watch how the pundits sort of like everything. A lot of the punditry feels like a stream of consciousness freestyle, like where you just have to connect certain like phrases like losing our freedoms, woke agenda, and Biden is destroying this republic. And then you've got like a take somehow like ready made for any show on Fox. But if you aren't careful, repeating the hot takes you're hearing around the office, I think may cause you a bit of on-air tension, specifically on Fox and Friends, because Brian Kilmeade and Rachel Campos Duffy had a bit of a disagreement over just sort of their geopolitical takes as it relates to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Brian Kilmeade, if you forget, on Fox and Friends, whose past hits include things like the burning of the Fox News Christmas tree is an attack on Christian America, mm-hmm. or we need to reopen New York City in May of 2020. He's not the brightest star on Fox, but this week he was given a nice chance to be the smart guy when Rachel Campos Duffy, decided to give her take on what is happening in Ukraine and who's at fault here.
Will not be part of NATO.
Well, and I'll tell you what, you can never give in to what Russia wants other nations to do. They're going to decide you go into NATO, you go into the European Union, when they're a European society that wants that?
Well, we have a Monroe Doctrine, and I think we would be very concerned about this kind of action in our hemisphere. I think he said, keep it neutral, and in the end, probably Ukraine is going to lose more land because of this. Again, the main problem here, as you see, and as we discussed, the main problem is still China. And now we've created a bigger bloc, China and Russia together. This is why our policymakers aren't thinking long term.
Right.
Provoking this war has brought our two enemies closer together.
They provoked the war.
Well, they had a red line. and we had an agreement in November with a security agreement.
They can't make a red line on other countries, Rachel. It's not up to them to make a red line on other countries.
This is the fate of the geography of Ukraine, and they could have remained a free country. We could have armed them. We could have actually...
Right, no, you understand. Russia got their way. They lost their stooge in an election. The minute they lost their stooge in an election, it had nothing to do with us. They took Crimea and the two Donbass regions.
So he goes on to state facts about certain things that have occurred. But, you know, Rachel Campos Duffy, who obviously isn't just a former cast member of the 1994 San Francisco Real World cast.
That's wild. I did not realize she was a Fox News talking head. That's Rachel.
That's Rachel.
Wow.
Okay, the season with Puck in San Francisco. And Pedro, okay, iconic season on Real World. That's one of ascended to these.
The season, I feel like.
Yeah, that's... That was like the first season when I feel like they really started getting real and stopped, you know, whatever the fucking tagline is. Yeah, but that is such an iconic season. That's wild. Okay, so this is actually the debate I'm seeing a lot of people have. Like, so that somebody had brought to my attention the work of this international relations professor, John Mearsheimer.
Yeah.
And he's in the realist camp, of which they were smart when naming themselves, I guess. But this is the version of international relations where, like, great powers will inevitably fight, you know, will inevitably test each other. And, you know, back in 2008, this dude was like, we are fucking up by pushing a NATO agenda like in Ukraine, because that's going to piss off Russia. And we want Russia as an ally because China is the real threat. So that's, I think, the talking points that are coming, where her talking points are coming from. Mm-hmm. Like the realist point, like, this is something I even, like, took a class on in college. And, like, the problem with the realist model of international relations is it's deterministic. It's like, this is inevitably how people behave. So, like, he brings up the Monroe Doctrine a lot as well, and basically says, look how the United States reacted when there were...
Cuba brought some missiles by.
Right.
Russia brought missiles.
Yeah. Missiles in Cuba. They almost... The U.S. almost ended the world. And so by trying to invite Ukraine into NATO, that is, like, the equivalent of that. And therefore, like, they should never do that, because this is just how the world works. And that's always been my issue with the realist point of view, is that it treats things as, like, fixed and inevitable, and, like, this is just how the world works, and you can't criticize it because this is just, you know, Putin is just doing what a great power politician does, and there's no, like, normative judgment on it. It's just like, yeah, that's just how it works, and we need to befriend Putin, and so that we have a stronger, you know, stance when it becomes the U.S. versus China. So my issue, like, I have agreed with some of the things they've said, like that the U.S. should have been better at diplomacy when it came to conversations around NATO and Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And when it came to things like Obama calling Russia, like, a regional power, or, you know, whatever he called them, like, those weren't great diplomatic moves. But, like, does that mean that it's the United States' fault for Putin, like, bombing maternity wards? Fuck no. Like, and to like, that's the problem that deterministic thinking gets you into, is that you're just like, there's no right or wrong. It's just like, this is just the way it is, folks.
I'm pretty sure Rachel Campos read that Mearsheimer New Yorker interview.
Yeah.
Found something that worked, because, you know, you have to go on Fox and you got to do something that will at least hit Biden, you know?
Right.
And this does give an, like, somewhat of an intellectual argument as to the missteps that occurred, you know, historically to bring, you know, to bring the situation to this point. But I think that's what I was saying earlier, is like, she's using this to just use it for the spin on Fox to be like, yeah, and we got our Monroe Doctrine. Like,
right. Yeah. The Monroe Doctrine by her and this standard is, it, like, Mearsheimer says it's an inevitability. Like, they obviously, like, celebrate it and think it's, like, a, you know, a religion to be celebrated. I would hope most people think it's a problem to be solved.
Well, even in that interview in the New Yorker, right? The journalist, I want to get their name, Isaac Kotner, who's interviewing him, saying, well, like, you know, but the Monroe Doctrine in a way is sort of saying that the U.S. determines what any sovereign nation's foreign policy is. So isn't that problematic? And it's like, yeah, but we've been doing that forever.
Yeah, but we shouldn't forever. Be. That's a yeah. That's
and
my
that's
issue.
Always like his, that's like his, that entire interview is like, well, what about this? Like, yeah, but that's just how it is. And it's like, but that's fucked up and bad. And so how do we get better? And I guess for him, the realist part is saying, how could you ever think for a moment that these entrenched superpowers are for a second going to like have redefine what a nation state is or whatever so everybody can get along?
Yeah.
Why does this feel like excerpts from family therapy?
Right. You just treat things like they're always going to be that way, Dad. I'm trying to change the paradigm.
Not everything's black and white. Oh, it isn't? It either is or it isn't. And right now it isn't.
But like, what better opportunity to criticize your own nation's like way of doing things than when everybody is getting to see what it looks like when a nation acts the way that your nation does, you know, like that's, right. It's not a time to like dig in and be like, well, see, this is how it is. And we should have been nicer to them so that like they wouldn't bomb these maternity wards. And it's like that. Yeah, I think the realist camp is a good way of describing how things have operated for a long span of history. I don't think it's a good way of like operating and like thinking the world should operate.
Yeah,
like,
an analytical lens to look through, not a philosophy to move into society to the future. But
yeah,
because you could look and like you would be like Mearsheim and be like, well, we've been overthrowing governments for
and
a while.
That's bad.
Right. I don't know. But yeah, it is. It's just interesting to watch that tension spill over on Fox, too, because I think the other thing that Mearsheimer was arguing against, he's like, it's too convenient for the West and Western media to just say, yeah, it's all just Vladimir Putin.
Right.
And completely extracting themselves from the diplomatic missteps that may have, like, in his worldview, being like, you can't poke a friggin' monster with a stick and then expect nothing to happen. That's just not how any of this stuff works. But even then, you're just seeing like this kind of these worldviews trying to like reconcile with each other on Fox News of all places.
Sarah, as like one of the smartest people I listen to, like, I feel like a lot of the stuff you guys have covered on your show is like a little bit further in the, you know, rear view than like a war that is happening on a day-to-day basis. But like, I'm just curious to hear, like, how do you follow a story? Like what's happening in Ukraine?
Do you
follow a story like that?
Do you have the emotional bandwidth?
Unfortunately, the way that I consume news in the last couple of years is mostly from my friends telling me what's happening. And then that's how I know what's happening, because that's all we ever talk about anymore. I feel like there was a time when you could, I don't know, I'm sure there are people who still live like this. It's strange to contemplate, but when you would just sort of like talk with friends and like current events wouldn't come up even once during a single day. And now it feels like that's just all we talk about. And so I feel like my filter, it's like my burnout is being accommodated by the fact that people are constantly bringing me headlines to discuss.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's, I guess like it's both, it makes it both more and less underwhelming to engage with, you know, what we're talking about today and be like, well, this feels like the debate that we have been having forever about, you know, what is human nature and this idea of like, well, here's a way humans behave selfishly. It's what we're destined to do. And if you try to live differently or to believe in something, some other reality, then you're a sucker. And I do think that's, I guess it's like I follow stories by breaking them down to the ingredients in that way.
Right. I could launch into a whole thing about why my belief in UFOs makes me feel good about doubting the realist point of view, and I will not do that.
I do really want to hear that. Oh, man. Does this, like, connect to the sort of the themes of Arrival, which is that aliens might just sort of lovingly pity us?
I think that might be it. Like, yeah, basically, so, I don't know, like, I feel like we've seen a lot of shit that makes that suggests that there is something that is much more technologically advanced than us, that is present around us and is not, like, the military is aware of it and they don't want us to know about it. I think because the way that that alien technology behaves is so contrary to this, like this sort of realist perspective on the world is what the entire Pentagon, the entire U.S. economy, because it's so propped up by the military-industrial complex, like that, it's all based on this idea that, like, you have to be ready because someone's going to come fuck with you if they get just the slightest edge. And then these, like, these technologies that are, like, so far and above and, like, beyond what we, like, even our theoretical understanding of physics, like, are coming through and just being like, we're just going to, like, check out your nuclear weapons plants to make sure you guys can't kill yourselves, like, all at the same time, and then we're going to dip. It's like, no, they, like, obviously, it's not a thing that, like, the more advanced you get, the more you're just going to, like, fuck everyone over. Now, granted, that seems to be, like, other than a handful of movies like Arrival, like, that is the model that we get from our movies about aliens. But, like, it, like, I actually believe that is the reason that the military is so intent on covering up the, like, contact and, like, you know, all of these instances of, like, encounters with technology that's, like, beyond our understanding, is that those technologies exist, like, apparently exist and aren't being used to just, like, murder us all. And, like, that kind of fucks up their whole model and fucks up the whole, like, realist model too.
This is my kind of conspiracy theory, I gotta say. And yeah, I feel, I mean, this connects with one of my core beliefs, which is that, like, the myth of the brilliant serial killer, like the mastermind, you know, murderer, whatever, this idea that, like, murdering people connects somehow to intelligence, which I think is, like, an unstated idea that we have, I think is makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Because it's like people who are well adjusted and, like, doing well and at their peak don't murder people. Like, they just don't, you know.
Right.
Not to sound like Elle Woods, but I feel like we have this, the sort of Hannibal Lecter paradigm of, like, what if there was someone who is smarter than everyone else and really had their shit together and, like, chose with a free will to be a serial killer? And it's like, I don't know. I don't think that sanity really aligns with the need to kill people over and over. That's my take.
Have you guys done Dahmer on You're Wrong About?
We did, but a long time ago. That was one of the first ones. Yeah, that is a really good example of this.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, Dahmer happened after Silence of the Lambs. It was, but it was, like, right at the same time. And, like, the zeitgeist was hungry for a, like, you know, pardon the pun, but, like, the zeitgeist was hungry for a cannibal. And the serial killer was discovered who had body parts in his apartment. And the police, like, sort of got him to be like, yeah, I tried one, like, once. And they were like, Dahmer's a cannibal.
There he is.
Get him. And
thank you so much for knowing that, like, he wasn't eating human flesh as a main diet and that he had body parts just to have, because, like, nobody knows that. And I realize it might seem like a fine distinction, but, like, it's weird, right? Like, why would you need to grade inflate your headlines if you already have reality?
Right. But he was like a blackout drunk who had, like, was just, like, bad at cleaning up after his murders and just, like, had the bodies all over the house because he was, like, a, like, exactly what you're talking about. He was a broken, destroyed human being who I think I really, like, wouldn't be surprised if the idea that he even tried to, like, tried one of the body parts was, like, kind of pressured into him by the police and he, or just by his, like, realization that, wow, people really responded when I said that. So like, I'm going to go with that right after Silence of the Lambs came out. But anyway,
that's a really good question. I mean, also, and well, yeah. And speaking of people who evade detection, you know, it's like I don't think it's ever because of superior intelligence. And in Dahmer's case, it was because his victims were mainly people of color.
Yeah.
He lived in a low income neighborhood and primarily a black neighborhood. And his neighbors complained about the fact that they seemed to be living next to a serial killer, and he had victims escape, and the police returned one of them to him. And, you know, yeah, like you don't need a brilliant and like, causing harm isn't a sign of having your life together, and the ability to cause continued harm to the people around you also doesn't mean that you're smart. It means that the authorities don't care about the people you're hurting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about KFC.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so are we fans in this group of Demolition Man? What are our thoughts on the film Demolition Man?
Oh.
Very pro.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. I mean, yeah, it's a work of art.
It was made by an artist who, right? Like he was a
Marco Brambilla.
Who had not really made a movie. They were like, what if we gave this wild ass script to an artist? And like, saw what they did with it. And then they were like, I don't like making movies. This sucks. And didn't really make anything else.
He had such a vision that he was trying to apply. And like the studio's like, what? He's like, dude, I'm an artist. What if this was in it? They're like, no. And right. Yeah, completely soured him on it. And now you'll probably see his work if you go to the Standard in New York. He does like I always talk about this guy's art because he's an amazing visual artist. If you're at the Standard in New York, the hotel has like a small miniaturized version of one of his art pieces. When you go up or down, there's like this like a collage of different film, like little, he like rotoscoping out little moments from film and shows either like the ascent into heaven or the descent into hell, depending on which direction you're going into the
damn
the elevator.
I've been there and did not realize that was him, but that, and it oh, yeah. Also, I was going to say it makes so much sense. It does not. Given what I know of Demolition Man, because Demolition Man does not have that sort of trippiness to it. But it is like a fully realized, like, artistic vision of the future. And in that future, Taco Bell was A, the only restaurant in existence, and B, consisted of fine dining featuring small portions of food with mm-hmm. pretentious presentations. Taco Bell had won the... What do they call it? Like the
Franchise Wars.
Franchise Wars.
Yep. I'm a fan, big fan of the film.
Is it implied that those were actual wars or just, you know, like hostile takeovers?
I don't know, but don't we need a prequel
yes.
about that?
I know.
It would be
exactly.
better than that Clone Wars thing.
Like, yeah, let me see like San Angeles, like the 10 years before John Spartan is thawed. From
Ratzenberger has to get in there so that, and it has to be full Ratzenberger, not just a voice, so that he can take his place on the list of the most successful actors of all time.
Yep.
But yeah, so apparently KFC is going down a similar path, at least for the purposes of a marketing stunt that got us hook, line, sinker. Mm-hmm. They fucking nailed this marketing stuff because we are talking about it, and there's nothing anyone can do to keep us from talking about the fact that KFC is going prefix menu, a tasting menu, a degustation menu featuring 11 courses, a wine pairing, and it costs...
Wait, what?
Wine yeah, pairing? Baby. Costs just over $50, so I don't know what
Fuck
kind of wine...
Here.
I mean, that's like $5 a course. I would do it.
Yeah, it's like that is a deal. That is so.
Is the food KFC though?
The food is KFC. Let me take you through some of the courses. It's,
enlighten me.
Like the photographs that they have are what one is a single chicken wing being unveiled. Have you ever seen like those when they do the deconstructive cooking and there's like a glass little like shell
dome.
On top
yeah
glass dome on top of it with like foam or with steam in it, and then they like take it off and the steam like
comes usually smoke yeah to get you the smoke flavor. They like hit it with smoke for a little bit, right?
Yeah, so they got that but with a KFC chicken wing, a single KFC chicken wing, and just like some fancy garnishes. So I'm going to just skip right to the one that really intrigues me, because this feels like a genuinely creative idea. There is a bun that comes with a gravy candle, and as this gravy candle melts, you can dip your bun into the melted gravy wax.
Yes, I'm back.
I'm so into
it. I love that. I love that shit so much. Like, I
you
love
had
that
me a
so
gravy candle.
A gravy so... candle.
You know what's funny is that. I thought that, do you remember the Mario Lopez movie that they did, like the 20-minute Lifetime
Police
movie where he
Dead?
Plays...
No, the when,
hot,
no, when
no, he the plays the hot Colonel Sanders.
The Colonel.
Oh, yeah. I did not watch it.
I was so against that. I was like, this is terrible. This is completely against what Lifetime is for. Mm-hmm. I hate this thing where Lifetime and KFC are trying to be in on the joke about how they're both like things that we consume when we feel bad about ourselves, and that's what they're for.
Right.
But like, I don't know. I feel like such a simp for a gimmick, but like, I think this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And they've taken some big swings, but in the past, they had that log, like the Yule log that smelled like spices. They had like a weird video game. Hmm. There was a lot. They tried a lot. But this one, like you said, Sarah, they said gravy candle, and that's all I need to hear.
All right.
Exactly.
I don't know if we're allowed to say this. Super producer Becca, are we allowed to talk about the fact that we have brought in-house one of the KFC marketing geniuses. So one of our newest producers, super producer Becca Ramos, she came to us from the world of marketing and worked on the KFC marketing team. And she single-handedly came up with the Mario Lopez
Every
idea.
Single idea.
Every single one of those ideas. No, I'm just joking. I don't.
Great. I love it.
No. Erase the work of her coworkers. She conceived all that shit. You got half the credit.
Man, Mario Lopez getting a lot of burn on the dailies, I guess.
I know.
As of late.
Back-to-back days.
Yeah, yesterday's guest, Sarah, was co-starred with Mario Lopez in Feliz Navidad, Lifetime Christmas movie. So
God,
we evoke Lopez's name on the regular here. But is this fancy feast? Can we get that in here, or would you go to a restaurant? Where is this something, or this is for another country where people?
It's
have nice
Australia,
things.
And it's a limited. You have to know the president to get on the list, wait list. I don't know if that's true, but it's how I imagine things work in Australia.
Yeah. Hey, Aussie Zeit Gang, please get on that wait list. Let us know.
Truly.
Do you work for Aussie KFC? Yeah. Can you hook us up? I really want to see this gravy candle.
The gravy candle just needs to become a thing. Like candles that like melt into various things that you can dip bread in. Like give that to me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's so romantic.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly.
Honestly, I'm so into this idea. Like, I would go to a concert where they just lit one on fire and we watch it melt. I'm like, yeah, gravy candle.
Just bring your own bread.
Yeah. Right.
Get a little dip. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, because it kind of solves the main problem with fondue, which is the like bubbling pot that is like just sitting there like a bathtub that various people have like
exactly.
dipped food into this. Everything is freshly melted, so you don't feel like you're, you know, that there might be a toenail in there or whatever.
That's fine too. Protein, calcium. But there are actual edible candles, because I searched and I was like, please tell me I can just get this on my own, and they're just putting me onto something that exists right now. I think most edible candles are like chocolate for like a birthday cake, so it melts chocolate upon the cake.
Man, we had trick candles by accident for my 4-year-old's birthday party, and like that has changed my children's relationship to candles in its entirety. Every candle they light, they're like, it's
a
trick candle.
Have trust in the world.
Yeah, no trust in candles ever.
Get it. I remember like a kid at one time at a like I was 7. And someone had trick candles, and everyone was like, oh, wow. And this one kid was like, watch this. He just licked his fingers and like snubbed out the flame on the wick. And he's like, that's the only way to put them out. We're like, this isn't even your fucking birthday, bro.
Who are you?
Went outside and smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the kid who could put the cigarette out on his tongue in middle school, that was... That kid's, I don't know where his parents were, but he wanted to beat me up pretty bad, actually, now that I think about it. But shout out to him. But yeah, there's something about being like the first kid to smoke and being the kid who can put a cigarette out on your tongue that I feel like there might be some overlap there. So I feel like I'm a little less excited about the other offerings besides the gravy candle. There's like one of them, like I mentioned, single chicken wing, but just... You know, it has a smoky little. What's that movie where everybody's under the dome, under the glass dome?
Under the dome.
Under the dome. Yeah, it's a yeah. in an homage to
Names
Under
itself.
The Dome.
Right. Yeah.
there's one that's just three pieces of popcorn chicken, but then they like pour something on top of it and like serve it with like some curled up spinach leaves. The one that I feel like I just don't know how to feel about is an edible stencil art of Colonel Sanders' face, which you were supposed to lick.
Okay.
Lick the likeness of Colonel Sanders off a plate.
No.
Yeah. That's where I'm back out. But I don't know.
But like, I want every fast food company to do this. Like, if McDonald's did this, I would be all over it. And like, don't you find it absurd that McDonald's even has ads at this point. It's like they're just a constant, aren't they, recession proof? Like, it's just, do people ever not go to McDonald's? But if, I mean, but they've been doing increasingly desperate stuff lately, I think. And like, listen, this is a desperate thing that would really pander to me directly. And I'm still somewhat relevant from a marketing perspective. So do it, you guys.
Yeah, the marketing is only to get young children, yeah. I think, at this point. Everybody else, they're like, yeah, you guys get it.
Kids love tasting menus. They love shape and ease.
I mean, I think we've proven we're all just kids. We're chocolate milk drinking, plate licking, gravy candle loving adult fools.
I mean, that is like a $1 billion marketing idea, though, that like a week, it's like restaurant week in, you know, LA, but like a restaurant week for all chain restaurants where like they all offer their own tasting menu of like culinary creations, Taco Bell using the same five ingredients they use for everything else, but like the, you know, just new creative. I feel like that would get people interested. Yeah, you should.
I'll back it.
Hey, I'm going to give you the ultimate compliment, Sarah. You should work in marketing.
For every creative.
That was what I wanted to do when I was a kid. I loved commercials. I wasn't allowed to watch non-PBS, so commercials were like this beautiful forbidden fruit, and that probably never left me.
Oh.
That's the same with my kids. They're the only like TV they're allowed to watch is like sports when I'm watching it, and so they just... they ignore the shit out of the sports, but when the commercials come on, they just come right up to the TV and sit there like they're getting to watch like the greatest
things. They're like, yes, Prilosec, OTC, my favorite commercial.
But that, like, that's where I got my evidence that, like, that's what these commercials, like, that's why McDonald's still advertises, because, you know, we've haven't almost never eaten at McDonald's in their lives, and they're like, I want McDonald's fries. I'm like, how do you even know what the fuck McDonald's fries are?
Oh my God, that is why. It's because new people are being created. Yeah. That's the only people who need to see McDonald's ads, people who are five.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So they're, inoculate them. Get them to understand.
Get them. Well, Sarah, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for having me. I forgot to say when you were giving me that wonderful introduction, I think there is no podcast royalty. We are all podcast fellow workers. It's a beautiful thing. So you can find me on You're Wrong About, which is on Twitter at You're Wrong About. I am tweeting a lot about Jell-O history right now at remember_Sarah. And I also have a feelings podcast about movies called You Are Good, which has not talked about Demolition Man yet, and I feel like that's really an oversight.
Wow. What's a good starter episode for people on You Are Good?
Ooh. We just released one about Arrival, actually, with Ryan Ken, which I think is I just really love that one. I think it's like it's about a great movie. It's a great conversation. It's a wonderful guest and just like really gets into, you know, like kind of what we were talking about before, this idea of like, what if there was this tremendous power out there in the universe that viewed us with compassion, and like, how would we even figure out what to do with that information? And yeah, it feels like a movie that continues to grow more relevant.
Yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. Well, so many. But so this is a tweet by Aaron Summers at Summers Aaron, this is actually two tweets. So there was an original tweet this morning that says, we didn't have $5 to beat the tooth fairy last night, and reaching some new frontier of parenting, snuck $5 of my daughter's own money, in quotes, from her stash and put it under her pillow. And then the follow-up tweet to that an hour later says, people commenting on my tooth fairy tweet that $5 is too much, .. Tooth compensation has been stagnant since the early 1990s. We believe deeply in fair pay, which, like, I love that. It's a tooth. It's, like, it's the first...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if adults lost teeth regularly, like, not in bar fights, we might be more inclined to compensate children better. Because, like, it is a process. I respect this philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it was $5 of her own money. Come on.
Yeah.
That's right. So she's breaking even.
I feel like all the people who were like, that's too much, were like CEOs of like John Deere and fucking Home
Depot.
Well,
yeah, it's their inner capitalist coming up. Like, right. You can't just raise the rates. I only got a dollar. They're getting right. five. No, we're not canceling student debt. But also the move was pretty capitalist. And like, I took the home motherfuckers' money and gave it back to them. So those people shouldn't be too mad.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also, you know me on 420 Day Fiance, but you know, Jack and I, we have a basketball podcast coming out. I think we will say that out loud.
Yeah.
If you listen this far, and we'll tease that out a little bit more.
And we recorded an episode and it's good. Yeah. I think
it's good.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's fun. It's for the casuals like us. You know, we're not doing X's and O's. We're having a good time. So check it out. You'll hear a title soon. You'll see some art coming soon. But I just want to get the Zeitgang out there primed and ready. Yes, we are doing a basketball podcast. That is not a joke. So hopefully you'll support us there. A tweet I like is from Lauren Lapkus, at Lauren Lapkus, tweeting, instead of, I was today years old when I learned, try, I just learned, or I'm very stupid, but did you know?
That's great. All right. A tweet I've been enjoying. I love John Boyce, who is he's a sports writer for like one of the blogs. He makes like fun documentaries. He made one about MMA, Fighting in a Time of Loneliness, with Felix from Chapo Trap House. Anyways, he tweeted, most of his tweets are just him being like giving the most down the middle mainstream sports opinion possible. But this was actually a good point. He said, collecting baseball cards in the 90s immunized at least some of us from NFTs. You spend $5 at the card shop on a Chuck Knoblauch on base leaders card because that's what Beckett says, then try to trade it and realize, oh shit, no kid in the entire neighborhood wants this at all. That's exactly right.
Oh, that's so good.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people should go check out?
Man, I was just, I found like an old playlist that like I had typed out like in an email from when I was just getting out of college. And there were some artists on there that I was like, oh my God, I haven't listened to shit in years. And there's this one LA band called Moving Units that was like kind of one of these, they're kind of like a post-punk band. And I was at the time in college not really listening to anything except hip hop. And then like, you know, a couple Pitchfork articles later, I'm listening to Moving Units. And there's this one track called Anyone that's just kind of got this good, I don't know, I consider this gateway music if you only listen to hip hop and need to broaden your horizons. Check out Anyone by Moving Units. Because yeah, this is a good track. So check it out.
I don't know, Miles. The only unit I listen to is G-Unit.
Okay.
So get out of here with that Pitchfork bullshit.
Hey, I mean, to be honest, G-Unit is in it if you just take out the M-O-V-I-N and then G-Unit.
Yeah. So get the moving out of here.
Get moving. Time for G-Units.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.